Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you, and happy Resurrection Sunday. Happy Easter. Happy Kwanzaa. No, just kidding. So it's good to be with everyone this morning on Easter morning. And we have continued a conversation through Lent that we are now going to bring a conclusion to.
Good luck to us.
And it has been a really eye-opening experience as we have had to adjust and have the kind of Easter that we've never had before. And so today, as we engage another conversation, our hope is that the newness of this opportunity will create insight and will create an awareness that maybe we didn't have before about this historical day. This historical day, all around the world, people are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, as usual, we invite you to chat, to text each other, text Happy Easter, chat Happy Easter to everyone else at the moment, and let us know that you're participating and engaging. We'll follow you as we have been doing in all of our conversations. So today we have Pastor Paul, Pastor Lena, and myself once again to bring us together. Pastor Lena, open us with an idea about the big picture, so to speak, the time we're in and the text.
So I think, like many people, this has been... this has brought us to the scripture in new ways. I think those of us that have been trying to figure out what does it mean to be someone who faithfully follows is one thing. But then you throw in everything that's been happening the last 4 weeks or so. I think many of us have been coming to that question in a new way. What does it mean to be a person? What does it mean to be a community of faith that is following Jesus faithfully? And so, you know, that's, I feel like that question is new every day. And I've been actually, I'm someone who doesn't generally try to kind of put all things on one day, which I think for many of us as Christians, this is the day, man, this is our day. and in my kind of walking this out, I've tried not to put so much pressure on Easter. Because I think what that does is then it kind of creates this, you know, we'll sit back until Easter, and then we'll sit back, and then it's Easter. Sure. But I feel like, to be honest with you, I have been waiting for this day, the last 28, you know, 30 days, whatever it's been.
Yeah.
I've been really waiting because I've been hoping that in this day, because of what this day means, that we will find hope, like the song says, hope for tomorrow. And so I do think that we come to the scripture this morning with a different kind of expectation than what we may have normally, because everything is up for grabs.
Yeah.
You know, here the three of us sit, you know, we're not in there in the building behind us, you know, we're without the presence of our community of faith. And so we're really trying to see Jesus in a brand new way and the newness that what it means to follow him. So that's what I'm hoping for today.
Yeah, we're trying to be the body outside of the building.
Well, can it happen, though?
Yeah, we have the text. You've got the Bible right there. Do we want to read the scripture?
Yeah, let's do it.
To start this off.
Do you want me to read it?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Okay, awesome.
Go for it.
So the passage that we are going to talk about this morning comes from Matthew 28. And this is really... just one of the accounts of the resurrection. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women, "Do not be afraid." He said, "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where the body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped at his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble." And so the guards did that. They accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. And their stories spread widely among the Jews, and they still felt it today.
There's no way, right, this conversation is going to do that justice. But we're going to do our very best. Paul, in this text, there are so many places to go. Where do you go first?
So many places. A couple weeks ago, I said, we got to go to the tomb.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go there again.
Yes.
Because the tomb is the place where the resurrection miracle happens.
Yeah.
And the question for me is, and the things that I'm thinking about is, what is the response then? In the Lazarus tomb, the community was invited to participate in the miracle. In this tomb, it's God's action.
Sure.
For resurrection power that's at play.
Mm.
And then the question is, what it then is the witness of the community to that? And we see that in the women running away with both fear and joy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And we should probably also talk about this idea of fear that's all around this passage.
Sure, yeah. The miracle is at the tomb. Yeah. Let's just start there, right? The miracle is at the tomb. Lena?
Yeah. I think that the, you know, what Paul was talking about, I mean, that's a scary thing. Yeah. You know, someone is dead and now they're not there anymore. And you can see, you know, to Paul's point about, you know, fear, what is it that they were thinking was going to happen when they got there? And then when they got there, what they saw was completely off their radar, completely off their radar. And so, you know, sometimes what we expect and what we end up seeing are two different things. And in this particular instance, it caused, for some, fear, and for others, joy. It's kind of a mixed bag.
Well, and like this is what caught my attention, in that everyone, you know, we've heard for almost 60 days now,
right.
Faith over fear, right. Faith over fear. But as I continue to struggle with this text, they brought spices to the tomb. Right. They did not believe.
Right. The
resurrection happened.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They did not believe that what Jesus said about in 3 days, kill this body and in 3 days, I'll raise it again.
Right.
They did not get that message.
Mm. Right.
They came with spices ready to do the ritual,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
The burial ritual. And it is only when they got to the tomb that they realized all that Jesus said was true.
Right.
Right. And that just think about it. Like for me, if some of the things that I expect to be dead and I have come to bury in my own life and then turn around and realize, oh my God, right. That should cause two things in my life, both fear, but also great joy.
Yes.
Cause if it's true, whoa.
And right? Then the question last week, who is this Jesus, right? This actually happened. Whoa. Wait a minute. Who is this Jesus again?
Yes.
Kind of thinking about my relationship with this person that I've been following.
Yeah. I mean, the whole relationship changes at that point of the miracle, right? the whole relationship with Jesus and the whole relationship with power,
right,
and the whole relationship with truth in that moment, that's when truth becomes a person.
Oh gosh. You know, there's so many ways to kind of go with this, and I'm sitting here trying to think, okay, which is the way that I think is most fun to think about, most interesting to think about, most transforming to think about for us as it relates to the church. Mm. And so, you know, how many times do we kind of go to the place and we do our own rituals, and do we ever really expect that there's something that is going to be different about what we think? Or do we just kind of, I think that that's what this pandemic has actually revealed in us, is how much we have come to depend on certain things, and how much have we really expected that when we show up or come together, that God is alive, that the Spirit of God is alive and it's transforming, as you said last week. You know, transformation in that story was coming to the temple to upset things, right? And so in this moment today, my question for us and for us as a congregation at Lake Burien is, how much do we expect that this resurrection and new life is actually true? Is it true? Is it true that what happened at the temple means for us also new life?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember the story, and I'm sure all of us can tell a story of someone we walked with, right, where this reality hit them.
Mm-hmm.
If it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If it's true, then everything changes.
Yeah.
If it's true, then I'm not bound, but I'm free. Right? So in the African American tradition, growing up, especially growing up in the Pentecostal church, this was the day of freedom. This is the day we actually celebrate freedom. This is not just the day, but this is the text for our freedom. Because it wasn't good enough that Jesus died for our sins.
Yeah.
If Jesus didn't raise to new life.
Right.
Right? So the resurrection is the true liberative narrative for us. Right?
Yeah.
And for Jews, this is the same reality, is that the Passover leads to a freedom. Mm-hmm. If it's true, then everything changes.
Come on.
Yeah. Someone said last year in this conversation that this is new life, liberative life, right? This is not just Jesus, like a new improved Jesus,
right?
New and improved Jesus. This is actually new for all of us. And I think it makes sense to me in your tradition, the African American tradition, why it's not enough that Jesus just died for our sins. In other traditions, that's the way that the gospel has sort of, it's centered us.
Right.
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 In the narrative. And so Jesus died for my sins, so I'm good. But I think that stops short of this story. Right. Right?
Yes. Yeah. And in fact, Paul, that not putting a period at the end of Jesus died is the part of the gospel that's almost, that is the good news, right? And in many ways, that's the good news that rewrites the rest of the story.
Right. And then the question for the church is, then what is our response to that? And in that new way of liberated life in Jesus Christ. And I think that's the question of Easter. I mean, Easter is not just a period, right? It's actually the beginning of the new life. And so the question for the church is, in our current reality even, what is our new life?
Yeah, this is the new, this is the new beginning.
New beginning.
Right? Which is...
Here's what's going to be a shame.
Right.
Here's what's going to be sad for us.
Here she goes.
This is what's going to be sad for us. After all of this.
That's right.
Right? After all of this.
Oh, I see where you're
from
going.
From March 8th was when we had our first live stream. So however many days that is, right? After all of this quarantining, after all of this learning new ways to be the church, what will be a shame is if we come back the same.
Yes.
If we come back the same and everything around us has changed, because that's kind of what we were talking about, right? If everything around us changes, mm. and then here go the Christians trying to keep things the form of right. things the same, and we too are not liberated from some things that have actually kind of kept us down,
right?
You know,
that's right.
for fear of change, for fear of losing mm. something mm. tradition. I'm not sure, but you know what I've been praying about for us in specific in our congregational context is, you know, God, help us not to come back the same. Help mm. us to also to be raised yeah. to newness.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's right.
Yeah. The most of us have given up something for the Lenten journey, mm-hmm. right? And the fear, Paul, is that as pastors, as ministers, as people who care for our community, as people who are walking alongside others, as people who gave up things ourselves, mm. that we then would go through this and not, and just give it up for a moment,
yeah.
right?
But not change,
right?
Yeah.
Not have a moment of newness mm-hmm. out of this, mm-hmm. right? That would be sad. That would be sad. But we've been there.
We've been there.
We've been there, right?
We have been there. I think we're prone to go there every year. I mean, every year we have Easter,
right. There's,
and we yeah. count on that, yep. right? Every year we have Lent, and we count on that. Every year we have Christmas, we count on that. And so sometimes our propensity is to be like, okay, we'll have another chance at this.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yes.
There's always opportunities for renewal. Mm-hmm. But I think if we don't keep that question in the forefront, how are we going to respond in this mm. in this newness, in this liberation mm. Continually, mm-hmm. then we will have done ourselves as a disservice, yep. as you say, and even our witness loses its power. Because, like you say, whoa, this happened. Mm-hmm. But if we're just going to go back when all of this is over,
right,
and all the eggs are put away,
right,
and all the candy is eaten, and all the whatever happened.
Right. Now I'm going back to eating chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. That gave happens, though.
Gave it up. We're going to go back.
Right.
We lose something in that.
Yeah.
And the power of the resurrection may be lost in that. Now, we're always going to continue to struggle with that.
Yes.
You know,
good point.
But can we make a concerted effort as a church to continue to live in that liberation power?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's a part of this story, there are two parts of this story that you remind me of, and one is that there is this, Jesus shows up later on, mm. right? So even if, because you said, we kind of go through this, we go back and forth, like, okay, you know, I gave up chocolate, that was the good enough for the transformation for me, and I'm good, now I'm moving on, but Jesus shows up again. Mm. Jesus shows up again. Not yet transfigured, as they uh-huh. say, right? Not yet. But Jesus shows up again. And Jesus will continually show up again for the church, right? The question is, how long will it take us
yeah.
to realize that we can leave, and this goes back to the very first conversation we had. Can we leave the well?
Mm-hmm.
Right? The form
yes.
that we had.
Yes.
Can we leave the form mm-hmm. because the invitation is there for us? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's risky, and it creates, you know, it does create a little bit of fear mm-hmm. because I don't know what that looks like.
That's right.
And I know what this looks like. You know, I do. I kind of know what Sunday morning sort of looks like. And what I think God is inviting us into in this story is to take the risk of something new.
Yeah.
And to, you know, come out of the tomb, even the church, right, to new life.
Right.
This is a perfect, you know, if there was ever a way for us to actually start, this was, in my mind, this pandemic, this quarantining, this was it. Right, because everything was taken from us. So there is really you know, an opportunity for us to come back different. Not, I mean, to come back like really different. And I don't know, I don't want to kind of scare our Lake B folks, but you know, I think that we're ready. I think that that we're ready, and you know, it seems to be like the opportune moment when you look at all the things that are going on in our communities and the need for the need for good news and liberation for a lot of people, a need for transformation in our own lives and in the church and in our communities. This is a moment, and like I said, I don't want to put everything on a single moment because I think it's, you know, a process, but I think this is an invitation for us.
Mm-hmm. Right, and in the story, kind of what you're talking about reminds me that the response to fear, there's several responses to fear in the passage. The soldiers, in response to their fear, faint. And
here we go.
Are they scared? Are they, you know, happy? I don't know. They just fainted. The women, Mary and Mary, their response to fear is, go tell, right? The response to fear of the religious leaders is to quash the story altogether. Mm-hmm. And then the revived soldiers, their response to that fear of, you know, I'll take the money if you take care of all of this. What's the response of the church? I mean, we're, you know, Tali, you said this idea of faith over fear. I think I started in that place, my initial reaction, to tell you the truth, but it's changed. We need to live into that fear, and it's instructive, I think you said once. And the question for me now is not to deny the fear that we are in and the risk that we might have to take in this new liberated life, but what is the response to that is the question.
Oh my goodness. I'm ready to, we call the altar call. I'm ready for my altar call.
Go for it.
Paul, bring me to the altar. Because I think, like, and even in my own life, this was a part of my journey. This is a part of my journey. Even now is making sure, because sometimes it's easy to preach to people and not be present to your own reality, that there are times where I was so attuned to moving to joy. Right. That I never got the goodness of the despair I was in.
Yeah.
That I couldn't fully embrace the joy. To put it differently, I think we find ways to cover our fear and call it faith.
Right. Right. And for Mary and Mary, I love the fact that their names are the same. Because with Mary and Mary, the same name, there's both their responses, both faith and fear, right? Or joy and fear. And it's all wrapped up in one.
That's right.
Did one of the Marys have one? Did the other Mary have the other? No, it didn't matter. They're both Marys. It's sort of this tension in this passage of living with both, that both is a reality and that we live into that.
This is so true, because I was reading this morning, one of my favorite poets, Khalil Gibran, talked about this. And he uses the analogy of the bowl, and he says, from the same knife the bowl was cut is the same cup that we drink joy from.
Yeah.
Right? And this goes to your point that the container of both fear and joy is us, in us. And really the choice is not whether we do one or the other, but that can we engage them both authentically.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that is the power of Easter. Right, that we can be authentic to both in our lives and in the life of the church, in fact.
Yes. Yeah, a church that does not truly embrace fear and joy within the same experience of themselves often then diminishes one or the other. Yeah. And we have a false joy or a covered up fear.
Wow.
Right? And neither one of them produce an opportunity to experience the fullness of what God has for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good.
That's a mess.
It's a good mess.
That's
it's a good mess.
Right. Yeah. That's the messiness of this.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen. Yeah. I think that we've heard some great things this morning And I think the challenge for us is well put by both of my two friends here, that for us as a congregation, the witness of our faith, of our following, of our discipleship, right? So we started out with the question of what does it mean to be a disciple? What does it look like? How does following Jesus actually change us, right? And what the change that we're talking about, at least out of this conversation, is how we become people that hold both joy and fear, not in opposition to each other, but holding the tension and allowing that mix actually, and the truth of that mix, then change us. Is that right? Does that sound good? So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I think that's a good place for us to put a comma.
Comma. When can we get to a period? I want a period, Lord. Please, Lord, can this stop now? Oh, right. Man, I mean, you know, let's be honest, right?
Right.
We do this, and we do this in faith ourselves. We proclaim, we try to bring a conversation that's helpful, but at the end of the day, let's be real. Like, we're practicing our faith.
Right.
We are practicing what it means to be people who are following, and I don't think that there's ever going to be a period now. I think it's always a comma, even though for Lena Thompson, what I look for, you know, I like to check things off my list. So.
Yeah. Is there a word that you would use to sum up this journey?
Oh, man.
I asked the small group leaders this as well.
Yeah.
What is there a word that you would use? I know I'm catching you off guard.
Mm-hmm. You know, someone said last 2 weeks ago, I saw this and I put it on my Facebook post, the lentiest Lent I ever lented. I think what that just says to me is that what an interesting gift. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm choosing to see all of this as a gift. Because there's places in my own personal life that I've needed to kind of get rooted up and be kind of I can't check things off every day as much as I would like to. So, you know, I don't know if the word is powerlessness or the word is unexpected. What I'm leaning into for us today is hope.
Hmm.
That in the midst of all the conversations that we've had to this point and today especially, that there's hope.
Yeah. Paul?
That was pretty good, Lena. Can we just stop there?
Can we just stop there?
Period. You know, I think we all wrestle with, just like the fear and the joy, I think we wrestle with being quarantined and liberated all at the same time.
Yeah.
That as we've had to construct new ways of being for this time, it's also exposing things. And we've talked about some of this, right? The reality of authenticity of fear and joy. But it's also liberating us to live into that and to be okay with that. I'm seeing lots of posts about don't feel like you have to be productive during this time.
That's right.
Take care of yourself. Connect with those people who you haven't connected with in a while. In fact, I connected with a friend of mine, and we do a pretty good job of connecting, but we hadn't connected in a while. And we just talked about life, and he told me about some of the significant things going on in his life. Is that not liberating as people to experience some of that? And I hope that we can live into that. So, this tension. And I think we're okay with that. I'm okay with that. I'm trying to be okay with that.
Trying to be okay with that.
How about that?
Yeah. No, I think you're right on it. And I would say that the same for me is that moment of realizing that there was no football, no basketball, no sports at all, right? No, that everything that I use to occupy what I call dead space in my brain.
Is there dead space in there? I'm just curious.
Yes. Just ask my wife. There's dead space in my brain. Just to use to turn off, right? That and engage something. All that's gone. Mm. And that, you know, you can't go to the gym. And all there was snacks all over the house. And we're in Lent, so there's there's like stuff I'm not supposed to be eating right now. And I think that moment of, okay, this is what newness feels like. Mm. And sometimes it's thrust upon you. Mm. And when it's thrust upon, when it was thrust upon me, Alina, as we kind of prepare for the benediction on this morning, that many of us may feel that this has been thrust upon us.
Yeah.
And there's a certain anxiety we're living into, a certain sense of despair. And that was my word, despair. And how do I live into this sense of despair in ways that are faithful to God?
Mm. The reality is we're still going to be in a little bit of a Lenten kind of situation. You know, to all of our friends out there, you know, it was hard news to hear that, you know, our kids in this state aren't going back to school this year. So to our friends and to, you know, our Lake B folks, you know, keep doing what you're doing, keep loving your children, keep being the best that you can be. You know, you didn't expect to become teachers, and, you know, having to do that with maybe having to care for parents as well, or, you know, take care of a household. And so, you know, my heart goes out to you, and you know, let's just continue to sort of lean into kind of support and care for one another during this time. And let's also think about not just our own children, but many children in our community who may not be having that same kind of support in their own homes. That's kind of what I'm carrying out of this Easter. You know, my prayer for new life is not just new life for Lena Thompson or new life for Lake B, but it's that all of our community and those that we come in touch with can also experience this new life that has been promised to us today, with all of the mixed bag of what it is. So just, we love you all. Happy Resurrection Sunday, happy Easter, and just receive this benediction on today.
Beloved children of God, may we know that the story does not end with Good Friday, but continues with Easter. May we come to the empty tomb and hear the good news that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. May we experience the resurrected Christ revealed to us in new ways in this Easter season. And may we continue to walk with Christ into resurrection, into new life, even when we're unsure of what it will look like. In the name of the Father who was for us, the resurrected Christ who is with us, and the Spirit who empowers us to be resurrection people each day. Amen.